Lenovo is imagining a future city built on kindness, and they want the entire world to become its citizens. All you have to do is finish the phrase, "The kind city of the future will." Your voice will be added to thousands of others, including Queer Eye host Tan France and Dr. Peter Scott Morgan, the human cyborg. Become a citizen at kindcity.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, November 4th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. The list of U.S. tech companies leaving China just got a bit longer. Yahoo had a complicated relationship with China over the years, and now it's pulling out entirely. So what does this shift mean for Chinese internet users and for tech companies operating there? On today's show, our China tech correspondent Lisa Lin joins us to discuss what's going on. That's after these headlines. The Biden administration is ordering nearly all federal agencies to patch cybersecurity vulnerabilities that could allow hackers into government systems. It's one of the most sweeping cybersecurity mandates ever imposed on the federal government. The directive covers around 200 known security flaws flagged by cyber professionals between 2017 and 2020, and an additional 90 discovered this year. The new order comes from the Federal Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA. As we've talked about on this show before, CISA has taken on a higher profile role as the Biden administration ramps up efforts to shore up the nation's cyber defenses. Activision Blizzard says it's delaying the release of two games and that its earnings for the holiday season will likely fall below investors' expectations. The company's pushing back the latest installments of its hit games Overwatch and Diablo, citing recent leadership changes at the Blizzard Entertainment unit that makes them. Some of those changes came after the company was sued over the summer by a California regulator over allegations of gender-based discrimination, harassment, and retaliation. The company's fighting the charges. The news of the delays sent Activision shares tumbling. On Wednesday, the stock fell 14%. Speaking of video games, they may be the next reason you log into Netflix. Starting this week, subscribers with Android phones or tablets can play mobile games in the Netflix app. A spokeswoman said the games will be available on Apple devices in the coming months. Unlike other platforms, Netflix games won't come with ads or in-app purchases. The company is hoping the games will help it attract new users as the streaming market becomes increasingly competitive. And the next pair of Nikes you buy could be virtual. The apparel company known for its swoosh logo and Just Do It slogan has filed trademark applications to sell digital versions of its shoes, clothing, and other items stamped with that branding. Our markets reporter Caitlin Ostroff says a lot of money is already being spent on these kinds of digital goods.
You've seen digital art and digital outfits for characters and digital houses and virtual worlds all become very expensive in the last couple of months as more and more people either want to buy or create in these spaces. And so potentially Nike could stand to make decent money off of it, how much is up in the air, but this is something that, at least for the moment, does not seem like it's a passing fad.
Okay, coming up, Yahoo may not be as dominant as it once was, but its departure from China can tell us a lot about the business environment Beijing is setting. We'll get into it after the break.
Lenovo has traveled the world to find stories of kindness to create the Kind City podcast. Unlike other podcasts, you decide what happens next. You build the audio experience. Start with multi-generational living in the USA. Travel to China to hear about climate change. Pop to the UK for dreams, tech hubs in Brazilian favelas, kindness currency in Japan. It's up to you. Listen at kindcity.com.
Over the last two decades, Yahoo and China have had a rocky relationship. While other tech companies have avoided the communist nation and its strict rules, Yahoo tried various ways of making a place for itself. But now it's leaving, citing an increasingly challenging business and legal environment. And it's just the latest example of a well-known U.S. tech company calling it quits on China. So what's behind the pullout, and what are the broader implications for China's internet? Joining us to discuss is our China tech correspondent, Lisa Lin. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Zoe.
Yahoo is pulling out of China, and less than a month ago, we saw LinkedIn pull out. But U.S. tech companies already didn't have a big presence in China. Even Yahoo started reducing its presence a few years ago. So why does it matter that they're pulling out completely now?
That's right. The Yahoo pullout is mostly symbolic, in my view. Most of its offerings were already out in 2013. So they pulled Yahoo Mail, they pulled a Yahoo Music app, they pulled Yahoo News. All that's out by 2013. And by 2015, Yahoo actually lost its physical presence in China when it shut an R&D office in Beijing. You know, back then in 2015, it fired about 200 to 300 staff. So this time around, you know, this message about its departure. And, you know, this departure is also coming in a year that many large foreign companies have faced some sort of challenge in China in terms of either regulation or nationalism. So this departure is really mostly an illustration of how much tougher it is to operate in China for foreign companies and the type of trade-offs that firms have to make to be there.
I wonder if we can just take a step back, because you talk about Yahoo pulling out, losing its physical presence in 2013. Can you take us through Yahoo's journey in China? What was that like?
Sure. Yahoo's one of these iconic companies in China in the sense that it's had such a tumultuous journey, and it's been there for the longest time. Most people probably don't remember this, but Yahoo entered China more than two decades ago in 1999. There's a really good Harvard Business Review piece authored by a former Yahoo president called Sue Decker. And she talks about its journey in China. You know, she calls the Yahoo journey a build, buy, and partner strategy. First, Yahoo tried to build its own business in China on its own. And then they realized that local competition was just so intense, you know, just like many other foreign companies going in back then. So Yahoo decided to buy a local startup. And like many other foreign companies, again, we tried to buy local startups. And there were cultural clashes, differences in management style. So that Yahoo venture didn't work out too well. Eventually, they decided in 2005 to partner with Alibaba, which we all know has become one of China's largest technology companies today. Yahoo ended up selling its China operations to Alibaba for a stake in Alibaba. And that Alibaba-Yahoo partnership didn't always go smoothly. There were some differences between Jack Ma, Alibaba's founder, and also Yahoo management. But that Alibaba stake eventually became the crown jewel of Yahoo, as the U.S. tech company gradually lost its relevance in the industry.
You mentioned Yahoo losing its relevance. It's certainly been pulling out of China slowly. If you're in China right now and Yahoo has pulled out its services, what are you not going to have access to anymore?
Yeah, that's a really good question because, you know, mail, news, the more recognizable parts of Yahoo's business was already not in China. But there are the more peripheral brands that Yahoo owns. For example, Yahoo runs apps such as Yahoo Weather, Yahoo Finance, Yahoo Sports. Those were still available in China, even despite the broader pullout. And there are the media outlets that Yahoo owns, TechCrunch and Gadget.com. These are some media outlets that Yahoo owns that Chinese citizens still had access to. So now all that's gone.
Let's talk about the reasoning that Yahoo gave for pulling out, the challenging business and legal environment. What exactly is it talking about here? What's the environment that it's dealing with?
So this year, what China has done is to take some steps to beef up its data security and privacy laws. So right now, China probably has one of the strictest data regimes in the world. They passed a privacy law, which went into effect on Monday. And beyond the privacy law, China also has the data security law, which was passed this year and ensures that companies operating in China localize their data in China. So that's led to, you know, you've seen Tesla, for example, building data centers in China this year. That's all part of the requirements of China's data security law.
One thing I'm curious about, though, is China's privacy law is modeled after the one the European Union passed a couple years ago. Tech companies didn't pull out of the EU, they just changed their systems to meet the new requirements. Why aren't tech companies changing to fit China's new rules?
I think what you're seeing now is companies with skin in the game, for example, companies that make decent profits from China, actually complying with China's new regulation. It is the companies that, for example, like Yahoo, they didn't have too much business in China. It's companies like Yahoo, you know, they're weighing the pros and cons of being in China. The compliance cost is a lot higher. They're not actually making too much revenue. They don't have too many users in China. So these are, you know, the companies that have less business in China, they're the ones that are pulling out. The big companies such as Tesla and Apple, which make good revenue from China, they're complying. They're building the data centers.
Okay. Are there broader implications, though, to companies like Yahoo and also LinkedIn and others pulling out of China?
Yes, this is really critical. And it's good. It's a good question as well. If you were a Chinese user in China right now, and you think about the American websites that you have freely access to, and it's not impossible to access these websites, but you do need like a virtual private network to allow you to jump the firewall to access American websites. So for the bulk of Chinese users, they don't have access to Google. They don't have access to LinkedIn now. The broader implication of Yahoo pulling out is the loss of communication between Chinese users and the outside world. The internet, despite all its flaws, was actually a bridge builder for the world. It allowed Chinese internet users access to American culture and vice versa. So the longer term implication is that a cultural divide grows between China and the world. And that's much harder to fix than just, you know, turning a website on or off.
All right. That was our reporter, Lisa Lin. Thanks for joining us, Lisa.
Thank you so much, Zoe.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. A reminder again, we're taking listener questions about the WSJ's Facebook file series. What do you want to know about the investigation, the future of Facebook, or combating its effects in your own life? Leave us a voicemail at 314-635-0388. We'll have a member of the Facebook Files investigative team on an upcoming episode, and we might include your questions or story. Again, that's 314-635-0388. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
20 years ago, energy giant Enron was considered one of the most innovative companies in the world. But in late summer 2001, the company's top executive resigned out of the blue. That set my colleague Rebecca Smith and me on a reporting journey with an end we never imagined. I'm John M. Schweiler from The Wall Street Journal. On our new podcast, Bad Bets, we unravel big business dramas that have had a big impact on our world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.